The Battle of Chickamauga, Part 2. One thing that did go well for Confederate General Bragg on the first day of Chickamauga was receiving reinforcements. General Longstreet arrived from Virginia, arriving after 9 days by train, but it still took him to 11 o'clock on the night of the 19th for him to get to the battlefield because he didn't have a guide. Now, of course, Longstreet will follow orders, and of course he has men that are arriving as well. So as a result of Longstreet's arrival, one of the things that Bragg did, which is really hard to do, he completely reorganized his army during the night. That's the night of September the 19th to the 20th. And he made his army into two wings. The northern wing was going to be commanded by General Leonidas Polk. What a great name, Leonidas. He would be positioned against General Thomas. Well, General Longstreet would have the other half, and he would face Generals McCook and Crittenden. But, of course, you know, Longstreet has a great reputation. But, you know, he knows Northern Virginia, Maryland, Pennsylvania. Those were his troops. He knew his commanders. This wasn't Virginia. He didn't have a good grasp of the area. Only a third of the troops under his command had he actually commanded before. Now he had to find and trust new officers. And you can imagine, this isn't a modern-day Amtrak. 9 days by rail from Virginia. Oh, that takes a lot out of you. That's a tough haul. But I can imagine from a positive standpoint, the troops and his officers will be very proud to serve under Longstreet, who had a great reputation. And they're probably saying, oh, I wish that Longstreet were in charge of the whole thing at this particular point. Well, you know, General Bragg's not going to be without troubles, though. Even during his reorganization, he makes a mistake. He really put Longstreet in the wrong place. Longstreet really should have commanded the northern wing opposite Thomas, because Leonidas Polk is going to have a bad day. The plan for September the 20th, 1863, was this. He ordered General Polk and his group to open the battle at dawn. And they were to attack Union General Thomas's position. And once his troops were fully engaged, hopefully drawing a lot of Union attention, then General Longstreet would attack with his. However, and I don't understand this myself, General Leonidas Polk never sent the proper orders to attack to his sub-commander, General D.H. Hill. Of course, General Hill didn't exactly try to check with his superior officers of what he was supposed to do. So we have a misfire. There's no big attack. So dawn breaks over Chickamauga, but there's no fighting. Well, you can imagine how General Bragg is feeling over this. So he went to find out what the problem was. And when both General Hill and General Polk couldn't explain the delay, Bragg ordered all the divisions to attack. But it's not dawn anymore. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. And again, just like day one, the units are going to join the fighting one after the other, one at a time. Now, the Union crisis was that the Confederate forces almost captured Lafayette's Road. Now, Lafayette Road, it was in the Union rear. And if they lost that, they wouldn't be able to retreat. However, Union General Thomas and his men were able to hold the line. As the intense fighting around General Thomas's position continued, the Union commander, General Rosecrans, became so obsessed with the fighting in that area that he wasn't paying any attention to the rest of the Union army, particularly where it was positioned. By 10:30, a Union division was reported to be out of place, leaving a gap in the Union line. At least that's what one of the staff officers reported to Rosecrans, who by now had forgotten where all of his units were located. So what he did, he ordered General Wood to move his division into the gap. Well, if there was a gap, it would have been fine. There wasn't a gap. So General Wood, you know, he's sitting there going, okay, I'm moving. There's already troops here. I'm going to keep. I was ordered to move here. He wasn't going to question Rosecrans' orders because he'd been yelled at by Rosecrans before for not acting fast enough on one of his orders. And that was done publicly. So without question, you know, that division was moved to where Rosecrans wanted it, even though it wasn't needed there, and that, of course, left a real gap in the Union line. Now, of course, this is where luck comes in. You could say that Bragg has no luck, but Longstreet does. Just as Union General Wood and his division left their position, Confederate General Longstreet attacked, hitting the real gap. Six brigades were arrayed in column formation and then just blasted right through the Union line with ease. The right side of the Union line turned into an absolute jumbled chaos. Union General Rosecrans, McCook, and Crittenden were unable to rally their troops. Within an hour, most of the Union army was retreating towards Chattanooga. However, Union General Thomas held the field. He moved his other divisions, General Wood and General Brennan's division, to block Longstreet. So he's actually got his men in kind of an arc, a curve, holding three sides with his corps. At McAfee's Church, General Granger had three brigades of reserve troops. This is a Union general. And he'd been ordered by Rosecrans to hold this position. But Granger was aware of what was going on, and he personally led two brigades to aid General Thomas against Rosecrans' orders. And they were crucial in keeping Thomas's men in place. Also, some Union troops were rallied at Snodgrass Hill in the rear of General Thomas's position. This allowed General Thomas to hold his position until nightfall. Of course, later on, General Thomas is going to be known as the Rock of Chickamauga. Eventually, Thomas's forces would withdraw to Roseville Gap. Now, the losses at Chickamauga. Union losses were 1,657 killed, 9,756 wounded, 4,757 missing. Casualties of 16,170, which is 28% of the Union forces. The Confederates lost 2,312 killed, 14,674 wounded, 1,464 missing, or 18,454, which is about 28% of their forces as well. It is a Confederate victory because the Union retreats and retreats into a difficult position. Moving in the Chattanooga allowed Bragg to take Lookout Mountain and the Seminary Ridge and just choke them off at that particular point. Well, General Bragg is not going to have much better luck either. He doesn't order an aggressive pursuit, and General D.H. Hill actually called Chickamauga a barren victory. Now, one of the things, this battle is interesting from a couple of viewpoints. One, it's one of the bloodiest of the war. The other is, there are a lot of people got fired over this. From the Union side, General Thomas will be promoted by General Grant to commander of the Union forces at Chattanooga. And General Granger, who disobeyed his orders but saved General Thomas, was then promoted. Well, Rosecrans is obviously going to be relieved of his command since Thomas is taking his position. But Rosecrans charged General Alexander McCook, General Crittenden, and General Negley with misconduct. And they were relieved and tried, but they were all acquitted. Okay, So eventually they will retake commands. In the South, as you can imagine, General Bragg's not happy. So General Polk is relieved. General D.H. Hill is relieved. And General Hindman is relieved. Actually, this got so fractious that Confederate President Davis had to come down to Chattanooga and try and straighten out the situation. And to some extent, he is the one who moved those generals to another command to get him off, get them off of Bragg's back, so to speak, when it would have been probably easier to gotten rid of Bragg and selected someone. And of course, Longstreet's not really happy either with Bragg, because he's used to working with somebody a little more thorough. But he'll be parceled out. They'll eventually, Bragg will order him to attack Knoxville at the wrong time, but that's what will happen. So that ends the very confusing battle. Chickamauga, it's a beautiful, absolutely beautiful battlefield. Wonderful visitor center. We were there in early June. It was really, really nice, but it is confusing, but it is really well set up. The forest has been, for the most part, preserved, and I mean, you can walk in there and see just how dense the fighting was. I figure these people are covered with ticks and chiggers. that's part of the missing in action. And anyway, the sources for this, The Terrible Sound, The Battle of Chickamauga by Cozens, Chickamauga, The Bloody Battle in the West by Tucker, The Encyclopedia of the American Civil War, The Almanac of the Civil War, Dictionary of the American Civil War, and Nevins's works on the Civil War. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, sumahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and thank you very much.